We start out this second hour of the show with a fascinating story. Would you believe it if I told you that one of the founders of Syrian hip-hop and one of the most listened to artists in that genre is living right here in Bangor, Maine, and has been for a couple of years? It's a true story. The story behind it is pretty fascinating as well. And to tell us all about it in studio, we welcome, first of all, and when I use the term globe-trotting author, I'm not messing around here. Wade Shepherd has traveled all over the world, continues to, as the author of the book Ghost Cities of China, has appeared on NPR, BBC, CNBC. Your work's been seen in Forbes as well, but welcome back to Bangor.
Oh, thank you, Rich. Good to be back here.
You are working on a documentary about the gentleman to your left who is indeed one of the founders, if not the founder, of the Syrian hip-hop scene, Assassi. Welcome to the studio. Good
thank
to have you.
You
with us as well.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor. I appreciate it.
Wade, how did you hear about Assassi's story?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. Like you said, Rich, I travel all over the world, going from kind of story to story, kind of like, you know, film to article to book project. And I don't really spend much time in Maine. My wife is from Bangor, Maine. This is where her family is. So kind of every time I come home, my mother-in-law kind of wants to come up with reasons to get us to stay a little bit longer. So she's always pushing these stories on me. Hey, you know, I know this interesting guy over here. Hey, you should go do a story about this over there, right? I'm just like, okay, yeah, whatever. Anyway, one time last summer, you know, I'm standing out in her garden that she has, like, right in front of her house, right, in the corner of French and Cumberland Street, and she's like, hey, you know, you should do a story about my neighbor. He's this Syrian hip-hop artist named Zach. And I was just like, yeah, okay, Barb. Okay, you know? Like, I just kind of forgot about it, you know? And then and then later on that year, I'm making a film in Beirut, in Lebanon. And talking to people, I was like, hey, you know this hip-hop artist, Assassi? And they're like, yeah, we know that guy. And kind of told me about him. I was like, wow, this guy is, he's really something. He's really somebody. His music's really well-known. And he's living across the street from my mother-in-law in Bangor, Maine. I gotta do something with this story. So I came back and, you know, went across the street and knocked on his door. I was like, hey, Zach, I'm Wade. I want to make a movie about you.
There you go. And so now you're in the process of doing that. Now, when he introduced himself, did you think this was on the level? Or
first of all, like, yeah, he sent me a Facebook message on my page, and I was like, who's this dude? Like, first we thought he's a weird guy, because, like, who's in Maine is interested to shoot a documentary about a Syrian hip-hop artist? And then we looked him up. He's legitimate. He is real. So I was like, yeah, feel free to come and knock our door. And he come knock at the door, and we start shooting the movie.
Now, you have something else in common, too, in that your wife is also from Maine. Your wife, yeah. Stephanie, is from Millinocket.
Yes, she grew up in Millinocket. And then when she graduated from high school, she went to college in Boston, to Tufts. And then when she graduated and had her degree, she just, like, traveled over the world and, you know, like, abroad to Somaliland. She was teaching in there, and, like, she taught for a little bit, and the last station was Lebanon, and then that's where we met.
Now, is that her in your video?
Which video?
Which one was it that we were watching?
Jay Dilla tribute?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's her. She's a singer, too. Ah. Like, so we used to perform together. Yep.
Yep. She's wonderful.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Well, and the music is so unique, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's talk about your background. You spent the first 23 years of your life in Syria, and then civil war erupted, and like a lot of people, you looked for ways to get out.
Yes. For me, I looked for ways to get out way earlier than that, because as a hip-hop artist in Aleppo, I mean, it wasn't really big support for hip-hop or people consider it as a career. You know, like, it was a little bit weird. We're a little bit traditional in there. Like, one of the most traditional music comes out of Aleppo. So it was a little bit tough to convince people for new genres and stuff like that to get adapted to the culture. So it was hard. But yeah, then I decided at the age of 23, when everything got worse in the war and everything, like, definitely I don't have a chance in here. I have to get out. So I went to Lebanon. As you mentioned, I'm not the founder of hip hop in Syria. There's people started before me, but I'm one of the founders and one of the first people who started hip hop in Syria.
And it's a unique combination of styles too that incorporates a lot of traditional music. It's not the type of hip hop we might hear in America, but it's really fascinating. And can you also talk a little bit about, I hope I don't mess up the pronunciation, the Bilad el-Sham movement?
That's actually correct.
Thank you.
All right. Bilad al-Sham. Yep. Bilad al-Sham is the name of the region, first of all, where I came from. So Levant, other word in English, if you heard of that word. So it was basically Syria, Jordan, Palestine, Lebanon. It used to be one place called Bilad al-Sham. Literally translated, it's called Land of Damascus or the capital Damascus. So it was one country back then. So because we are not united as countries anymore, we got divided divided by Sykes-Picot agreement back in the French colony time. So I decided, the founder of this movement is Khaled Arnaout, aka BK. He got killed in 2010 in Lebanon. And since then, I'm a co-founder of this movement. So I decided to carry on his legacy and do something with this. So I started the Clinic of Bilad al-Sham album as a fusion between Middle Eastern music and Algerian rai and Arabic hip hop and some Egyptian music too. So we kind of like a little bit of taste of each thing. So we make people convince people to listen hip hop more when we involve traditional music in it. So when I moved to Lebanon, we start carrying on from there, and I was homeless for 1 month in there. Then I started like meeting these musicians because I sleep at one corner of the street. And from there, like, I met the musicians, and we took it to the next stage, and we did the Bilad al-Sham movement show, traditional Middle Eastern music with Arabic hip-hop. We were about, like, 8 to 9 people on the stage doing this.
Well, and the response has been tremendous, and people listening to your music all over the world. One of your songs was featured on NCIS Los Angeles as well. And, we went to YouTube, and, gosh, you got music videos everywhere. And for people who don't know, this is music being made right here in your home studio in Bangor, Maine, that's being listened to worldwide.
Yep. I try my best always like to be humble first. I mean, like, a lot of people don't know who is that guy. I work in a burrito shop, and people look at me as just a regular, immigrant guy. That's it. They don't know.
No idea.
Yeah, and I don't like to show up until someone asks me, like, what do you do? And then I tell them. And some people got fascinated because it's like, I mean, I struggled a lot to reach that point. I'm not really, really famous, but as you said, I'm an international artist. I've been featured in many countries. I worked with another artist. I worked with Finnish people, Polish rappers, Nepali rappers, Indian rappers, all over the world, Lebanese rappers, all different.
Joe Benjamin.
Joe Benjamin, even American artist now.
That's strange music.
Yeah. Yep, and I'm working with an American artist now on his new album, so, yep.
We're talking with the Sassy in studio with us, and Wade Shepherd, who's making a documentary film. What's the most interesting thing you've learned in this journey as you discover Zach's journey and learn all about it?
Well, it's a great story about somebody who refuses to give up against, like, insurmountable odds. I mean, not only, like, refusing to give up and trying to, like, live a good life, but refusing to give up on his dreams. And, like, some of the things that Zach went through, not just with the war, not just, like, with struggles with, like, where he comes from and, drifting through the world trying to find a country that would even accept him. And then 2 years of struggle trying to get into the USA. But, even struggles with, like, making his music. I mean, his first two albums, he made two albums. His first two never got released for various reasons. He's putting his, heart and his hopes and his dreams into this stuff, and bad things keep happening to him, right? Things beyond his control. But he keeps going. He keeps going. And now he's, 31 years old, and kind of, the war of attrition starting to set in, This has to happen for him to, get big and kind of, get to a level that he wants to get to soon, or it might not happen. So that's really what this film is really about, right? Is, being with this guy who knows that, this is his chance to, make good on his dream that he's had since he was a kid. And I think, many of us can relate to that.
Well, it's got to be difficult because, as you were saying before we went on the air, your whole family is back in Syria. How do you keep going? What gives you the strength to do that against what seem like insurmountable odds?
I'm really thankful and grateful that my family is still safe back in Syria. And all prayers and all, wishes goes, to them and all my my people in Syria. So it's just, hard when I see other people struggling in Syria and see them, going through the borders, wandering around the world with no target, and getting rejected. So that, I look at that, I feel sorry for them, and I feel thankful that I have a roof and place to sleep and to eat. So I'm thankful when I see that, but I, at the same time, I feel sorry for people, and that's what gives me the strength to keep going on and on. I mean, it's hard leaving your family for 4 years and not seeing them, you know, like at all.
Mm.
Especially my mom is one of my biggest supporters. So, yeah, it's tough.
How has the community of Bangor and Eastern Maine been?
It's been wonderful so far. You know, like I felt a lot of love, but I feel I'm still not accepted, you know, because I'm different. I have different point of view than most of Americans, especially here in Maine. It's like not really diverse state, you know, like right. No offense, but it's right. True. So to be a Syrian artist in Maine, in Bangor specifically, is like you don't have a lot of chances. You know, like I never was booked for any show in here for 2 years living here.
Wow.
I was booked to tour in Europe, but wow. I didn't still like didn't get to be booked in here. Which is, I'm not like being defensive and like, oh, you should book me and you should know. I should try, go out, get more connections, but it's hard to build the connections. It's like just weird, you know, for me.
Right, still. I'm sure. Now, has anybody recognized you other than Wade, who had some family intervention? Has anyone maybe come into the restaurant or seen you out on the street or in the neighborhood and said, are you a Sassy?
Never happened in the States yet. I mean, it's weird because in Nepal it happened. You know, like I'm a little bit popular in Nepal, which is weird. I worked with the first rapper in there and we did a music video and it popped. So people like follow me. I did a YouTube show in there too. Some people recognize me in there. But I mean, in America, I tried once I did an open mic. There was a jazz open mic at Sea Dog Company. So I went there and I did the open mic and there was some people from NASCOM. Like who studies audio engineer and stuff. And the guy who was playing violin was a teacher in there too. So they were like, dude, this is so good and whatever. So later I was promoting my new album and giving flyers in the street. So I saw like a young group of people. I gave him a flyer and he was like, yeah. And then he looked at me and he was like, yo, dude, I know this dude. Keep this flyer. I know this dude. Yeah, that's something different. We should keep that flyer. So I appreciate that. That was the only experience here that someone recognized who I am.
A wonderful story. Now, who inspired you? Who were the artists you listened to when you were growing up?
First of all, I got introduced to Michael Jackson music when I was young. But late 90s, I used to save my money to buy cassettes and make the whole collection of Michael Jackson. And then I heard some hip hop and Michael Jackson. It's inspired by, like, it inspired hip hop too a lot, Michael Jackson music. So that, but as an Arabic artist, like Arabic rap, I heard Aksasir. It's a Lebanese band. That was the first Arabic hip hop I heard back in late 90s. And Dam from Palestine. So that's the first two Arabic rappers. And my mentor in Arabic hip hop is Musbah Jalkhi, aka Liquid Dice. That's the guy who put me into this. Like he pushed me and put me on the show. My first show, I was 16 years old back in Aleppo in 2003 in a historical school called Saif al-Dawla. So that was my first experience of doing hip hop.
Wade, were you a hip hop fan or is it just this story that drew you to?
No, I'm just a fan of good stories. I just kind of chase these good stories kind of all over the world. So it's 100% the story. And he's actually like teaching me about hip hop and all this stuff. He's saying like, you know, all these hip hop phrases that he thinks I understand. I'm like, hold on, man. I gotta write that down. We're gonna have to have a title card in the documentary saying what this is. So he's been teaching me though. I mean,
so where are you in the process of making the film?
Oh, we just started. We started filming about 3 weeks ago, and we're almost finished with the first session. I'm going to come back here a few times throughout the next year and film with Zach here in Bangor, and also hopefully when he goes on tour this summer, I'll follow him around.
And where are you headed this summer?
Not sure yet. We're working on it. We applied for a few festivals, and there's a few people that are interesting to hire me in France. The last tour was in Utrecht, Netherlands, and then Paris, France, Berlin, Germany. So in Berlin, I might get some shows, in France too, and we're trying to do Finland this year.
Now you've got a Facebook page. If people want to hear your music, better yet, buy your music, or where can they go?
There's the website, it's biladhashammusic.com, and easier way is A-S-S-A-S-I music, Assassi music, /. So Facebook, Instagram, any platform, you can find me there, and I promote all my music and social media. That's the only platform.
Well, it is such a fascinating story. We thank you both so much for coming in. Wade, thank you for reaching out to us and getting us all together in a sassy. We wish you so much success and hopefully that the music continues to go well, but that you're reunited with family members too.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's an honor, and thanks for the support.
Our pleasure.